hello there. Don't be alarmed. We're just preparing your listening device for Scuba Radio, the world's first radio show devoted to diving. We do this, of course, by filling the radio with water. Don't worry, we're professionals. Thanks to me, you won't even get wet. You see, I've crammed every appendage of my body into the cracks and crevices of your radio, ensuring an airtight seal. By the way, don't touch your on-off knob. That's a very sensitive area. Anyway, I should remind you, we believe in the buddy system just like diving, so don't listen alone. Call your buddy and tell them that Scuba Radio is about to begin.
We're going to start a new life under the sea.
So, am I going to drown?
Of course not. Just stay calm and let the gentle currents relax your every muscle.
Under the sea. Under the sea.
Did it just get warmer?
There'll be no accusations, just friendly crustaceans under the sea.
Where the hell are the sharks?
And now, here's your dive guide for Scuba Radio, Greg the Dive Master.
And welcome to Hour 2 of the world's first radio show devoted to diving. Now, as I said earlier, next week we are going to be broadcasting from the deck of the boat that we're on in the Silver Banks off the coast of the Dominican Republic, snorkeling with humpback whales for an entire week. This is going to be an amazing adventure. Waldy Martini's going to be on board. Tom Conlon, who's the whale whisperer, so to speak. So I'm told. I've talked to Tom before, and he seems to know a thing or two about these humpback whales, that tend to congregate this time of year off the coast of the Silver Banks. And I'm excited because I know, people rave about this trip once they've done it. And it's been on my radar for some time. One of the many offerings that Explorer Ventures offers. Clay, the big cheese there at Explorer Ventures, is going to be on the boat with us as well. And he is on Scuba Radio right now. Clay, are you ready? Are you ready for another big adventure?
I'm excited. I've had to miss the last few trips that you were on, so I'm excited to get down there with you, and I'm especially excited to see the whales. That's always a blast and a half.
Yeah. Now, are you excited? Well, the whales are understandable, but are you excited by the fact that Walt DeMartini offered to sub as a Scuba Radio mermaid, but he said he would not wear the tail; he would only wear the top.
I just threw up a little bit in my mouth.
Yeah. Well, you and everybody listening, but it'll be fun to. I don't know. It's like a car walk or. It's like a car wreck. You got to slow down and take a look, right?
Well, exactly. It's got to be a little bit fun, especially if you're looking in the other direction.
Yeah, exactly. Good point. Because you might see a humpback whale. I mean, now you've done this trip before, right?
Yeah, and I went down a couple of years ago on the first trip that that Tom Conlon and Aquatic Adventures did on Turks and Caicos Explorer 2, and it was just a real fun week. It's very relaxing. The Silver Bank is about 80 miles offshore, the north coast of the Dominican Republic, and you just go out there and you moor and you just watch the whales all week, and it really is amazing. Tom has two really well equipped smaller tenders that you go out and you generally go out for 3 or 4 hours in the morning and 3 or 4 hours in the afternoon, and basically you're looking for whales breaching and doing some surface whale watching, and then finding them when they're underwater and slipping into the water and seeing them underwater as well. And sometimes you get lucky and you get a really, really close encounter, which is an amazing thing to experience.
Well, I have no doubt about that. We did a dolphin trip in the Bahamas a couple years ago, and it sounds similar because that was mostly snorkeling with the dolphins as well. We cruise in the afternoon looking for dolphins. So I imagine it's like that, but much, much bigger when you see the animals. Because these humpback whales, how big are we talking, really?
Well, I think, the average is probably, I'm not an expert, I think the average is probably about 40 feet, but they can certainly get bigger than that.
Wow.
And, a lot of mothers with calves and a lot of rowdy groups, males that are chasing one or more females and going along. It's really, Tom is, as you said, sort of the whale whisperer, and he explains all of these things to you right at the beginning of the trip and then gives a presentation every night on what you see, the different types of behavior to look for, that type of thing. And it really, you learn a lot, and it's just a great, relaxing, but sort of high intensity way to spend a week. It's really a lot of fun.
Yeah. Well, I mean, the fact that there's no diving, which is obviously what I like to do, but snorkeling with these animals for a week, you might think, well, maybe that's not my cup of tea. But when I did that dolphin experience, I thought that was amazing. Way more fun and more exciting and adventurous than I anticipated, because I kind of had that, I don't know, biased against just being a snorkeler all the time. But really, that's probably the best way to view these animals anyway, is right there from the surface, because that's what they're doing, is just floating at the surface mostly, I guess, or what?
Yeah, well, they sleep down on the bank itself, so that's maybe, you know, it might be 30, 40, 50 feet down, something like that. But you can't really approach them at that depth and bother them. But, you know, so when you find them, you can, you know, slip into the water quietly and wait for them to come up. And, you know, sometimes they'll just swim directly away from you. Sometimes they'll come right towards you when they come up and give you a real special encounter. A lot of the time, the mothers and the calves will sort of hang out, and the mother, if you're really lucky, the mother will let the calf sort of play with the snorkelers and swim around them. And it just, you know, every encounter is a little bit different, but I know many times the tenders will go out and they just won't come back for hours because they're in the middle of this amazing encounter. Nobody wants to get out of the water because they're surrounded by, you know, a mother calf pair or whichever. It's really fun. And a lot of the people that, are longtime clients that have been diving with us all over the world for years, have gone on these trips, and they say they really, really don't miss not diving. It's just such an amazingly, sort of otherworldly experience that, the diving sort of goes by the wayside, and they're more than happy to snorkel all week.
Yeah. Well, I have a feeling that will be the case. Just seeing those animals up close ought to be a thrill. Even if you're on the boat and just seeing them next to the boat, it will be phenomenal. Being in the water with them, I just can't imagine. The photo opportunities, I mean, I've seen some video clips and some pictures of people that have been on the trip before, and it's phenomenal, some of the stuff they get. And that's where I'm really excited about, getting that special whale shot as a underwater photographer. Definitely will be a goal of mine for sure. But that's, I would imagine, what everybody wants to do, right? And is it extremely regulated? Does Tom just kind of orchestrate the whole thing so everybody can get a nice view, or is there a big governmental regulation thing going on there as well, or what?
Yeah, it's a tightly regulated area in terms of protecting the whales and their presence on the bank. You're not supposed to obviously bother them or chase them or do anything, you know, that would of course harm them in any way. Tom's gotten to be, I think this is his 22nd, 23rd something year on the Silverbank.
Mm-hmm.
And he goes out there for 2.5 months each year, and he's gotten very good at giving people sort of hints and tricks as to how to make sure they get a successful encounter. You know, you don't swim towards the whales because more often than not you'll spook them, and that'll end the encounter for everybody. But if you're just hang out and are relaxed, then the chances are that at least several times during the week you'll have just an amazing encounter.
Excellent. And don't look like a squid. Or are they, well, humpbacks are filter feeders, right? Where are they?
Yeah, they're filter feeders, so don't look like a plankton.
Don't look like a plankton. Okay. I'll give it my best shot.
I don't think that's a singular, though. I don't think you can say that. But, yeah, close enough.
Okay. All right. Fair. I like that way of thinking, for sure. Now, what about preparing for this adventure? Like you said, all you need to bring is your snorkel gear. This has to be probably one of the lightest traveling liveaboard trips I've ever prepared for. Is that fair?
Yeah, that's fair. It makes it awful easy. Bring a sort of a waterproof windbreaker, because you're going to be on the tenders quite a bit during the week.
Mm-hmm.
And snorkel gear, and maybe a light wetsuit or skin suit or something. And that's about all you need, other than, you know, shorts and t-shirts on the boat. It really is easy to pack for. And again, the big boat, the Turks and Caicos Explorer 2, goes out and it hooks onto a mooring out on the Silverbank, and it stays there all week. It doesn't move. You're just on the tenders.
Now, Silverbanks are how far off the coast of the Dominican Republic? How far of a ride is that? Can you still see land where we're at, or no?
Nope, no land. It's about 80 miles offshore.
Oh, okay, okay. And, so it's a bit of a haul the first day, and then you just anchor out there the whole week, huh?
Yeah, basically, we leave Saturday night. We go out there Saturday night, arrive Sunday morning. And then we spend the entire week out there and try to have the best encounters we can. The interesting thing about it is that when you're motoring out to the Silverbank in the daylight, you know, on Sunday morning, you can see the whales all over the place. They're, you know, they're breaching. You see a group over here, you see a group over there, and, you know, it just gives you a real good feeling of the kind of week you're in for as soon as you arrive. And you can sit up on the flybridge of the boat and, you know, during the time when you're off the tender and just, you know, pretty much anywhere you look, there's going to be a whale breaching or a, you know, spouting or whichever. It's really quite amazing.
So even before you get in the water, or you can just hang out on the deck the whole week and just enjoy yourself on a week-long whale watching trip.
Yeah, pretty much.
Wow. Okay. Are there a lot of boats out there too, or is this one of the few that does this, or what?
There's only three boats. I believe three boats that'll be out there total this year, and that's it. And they're all moored, you know, in the same vicinity, not in the same exact area. And there, so you'll have, you know, up to six tenders out looking for the whales at any given point, too, from each boat.
Very nice. All right, exploreventures.com. Go there, get all the information, and make sure you listen next week when we broadcast from the deck of the boat. More coming up next. Stay close.
This is the Worldwide Scuba Radio Network.
For over 20 years, Explore Ventures has been taking people just like you aboard their live-aboard dive vessels. You start as a guest and leave as a friend. It's a philosophy that comes from the top down at Explore Ventures, and just maybe why Explore Ventures is one of the best repeat customer stats in the dive industry. Of course, they offer spectacular diving in the Bahamas, Turks and Caicos, and Galapagos. All the details are right there at exploreventures.com, but it's the people and the friendships one makes on these adventures that really sets Explorer Ventures apart from the rest. That's why we've made Explorer Ventures the official liveaboard company of Scuba Radio. Matter of fact, we'll be on several trips throughout the year, and we'd love for you to join us on any of these great diving adventures. However, the bottom line is, Explorer Ventures does the liveaboard dive experience right. Call them and see for yourself at 1-800-322-3577 or visit exploreventures.com. That's exploreventures.com.
You suck. You have to survive when you're scuba diving 30 feet underwater. The next time you dive, suck air through Oceanic's new Delta 4 regulator with dry valve technology. DVT eliminates moisture, corrosion, and hose deterioration. The Delta 4 also features an FDX10 balanced diaphragm for years of hassle-free diving. So admit it, you suck. And you should be sucking on a Delta 4 by Oceanic.
Obviously, we have it pretty good here at Scuba Radio, but why let us have all the fun? Dive into scubaradio.com and allow us to share the joy. It's all there, from cool monthly giveaways to info on how you can join us on our next big dive adventure or Scuba Radio broadcast. Click on the shop tab for special Scuba Radio pricing on Scuba Radio hats, jackets, shirts, and an assortment of unique items you won't find anywhere else. You can even get info on how to take scuba classes from a real live mermaid. So dive in now at scubaradio.com.
Hi, I am Peter, dive guy from Humboldt Explorer and the Galapagos Islands. You are listening to Scuba Radio, the world's first radio show devoted to the diving. Now, here's the guy who likes stirring the boobies as much as I do, Ray the Dive Master.
Will there be boobies?
Oh, yeah.
You know, I don't know if there'll be booby birds there off the coast of the Dominican Republic when we're on the Silver Banks looking for those humpback whales with Explorer Ventures. But hey, if there are, we will be talking about them. I have no doubt about it. So make sure you tune in and catch that show for sure. However, right now on the phone, my good buddy Pete from Scuba Board is online. You might know him as Ned Doc there at scubaboard.com. Pete, how are you doing?
I'm cold, man. Can you send me some Oleandes?
Well, you know what? I go commando, so you're pretty much out of luck in that regard. But, yeah, you're in Baltimore up there with Abby at the Baltimore Dive Show, aren't you?
I am. It's, and while it's warm here in the conference center, and there's lots of happy people talking about diving, it is frigid outside.
Yes, well, that's just part of it. You'll stay inside and think warm thoughts. That's how these dive shows work, for sure. So, by the way, I know there's some talk right now going on about Brad Nolan. He had a medical issue, right?
He did have a medical issue. He's in the hospital right now. We're missing him at the show. This is Brad's show. And unfortunately, he doesn't have insurance.
Ouch.
So we're actually on Scuba Board. If you go to our Good Causes Forum, we're going to do a fundraiser for Brad to try and help him out as much as possible. He's been a huge force for the industry, a positive force, trying to get people diving. It's time for us to get behind him and help him get well.
That sounds good. Brad Nolan, the founder behind the Baltimore Dive Show. And if you go to Scuba Board, you can help him out a little bit. It sounds like he needs it right now. Had a little medical issue that it's kept him from the show. He's not there this weekend, right?
That's correct. That's correct. And but hey, everyone else is, and where are the people listening to the show? They can listen to the show right here at the Baltimore Dive Show.
Absolutely. And think warm thoughts. And that's what we try to do here is think warm thoughts. Maybe I can help you out right now by sharing some of your stories that you've encountered down in the Keys before you headed up there to Baltimore. Because I know you got this new boat down here, down there that you built yourself, or you refurbished, I guess, right?
I did. It's an ongoing project, but it's mostly restored right now.
Okay, good. So you got this new boat down there. You've been doing some diving in the Florida Keys, and you were telling me before we went on the air that you've been finding some good spots for bugs, for lobster. So you tweaked my interest right out of the gate there. Tell me, what have you found?
Well, some of the spots we're finding for bugs, you can't go and take them out, but it's fun to find them anyway. There's a little place up north that the boats don't like to go to because it's so far north, called Carey's Fort, and it is awesome. We saw 9 reef sharks on one dive.
Nice.
We saw thousands upon thousands of Atlantic spate fish, so thick that they blocked out the sun. It was awesome.
All right, wait. This is called Carey's Fort?
Carey's Fort.
Carey's
Fort. CarysFort.
Okay, so what is it? What is it? An old shipwreck, or what is that called, or do you know?
I don't know. It's a reef. There's a big tower on it,
okay.
Almost like at Molasses. There's a big tower right on the reef to keep people away from the really, really shallow stuff.
Yeah.
We were in about 80 foot of water. We're still in the spa, the protected area, so you can't get the bugs.
Okay.
Pull it out, you can. But, oh, my gosh, I have not seen this much life almost anywhere. I've never seen 9 sharks in the Keys before, and to do that on one dive was just awesome.
Yeah, and these were reef sharks. They weren't nurse sharks.
Oh, yeah. These weren't big catfish. These were sharky sharks.
Wow, nice. So it is part of the Pennycamp Park, though?
Or it is. It's in the very northern park.
Okay, but you can go just outside the park, and maybe you can find some place with...
With
some bugs, do they sit there right on the line of the sanctuary and make faces at you as divers that if you're bugging or what?
They probably do. The neat thing about this area is that it's so, we're the only boat out there. No one goes out there because, like I said, it's a little bit further north. There's a few of the northern boats, Dive Center and the Silent World will go up there.
Okay.
And if you could get them to take you out there, you want a nice day because it's a bit of a ride.
Right.
But, oh, it's just gorgeous. It's some of the best diving. Now, I also made it to Conquaw, and there are tons of bugs out there, again, away from the normal touristy areas where people go diving. You got to get away from the popular spaces, but there's bugs all over.
All right,
it's
so there's
great.
a lot of bugs on Conch Wall, but I'm sure there's no conch.
Actually conchs on Conch Wall.
There is.
And the conchs are making a comeback.
Well, that's good then. All right, but you're not allowed to take them there either because you're still
in the
marine park.
Can't touch a conch.
Yeah.
You can't touch any kind of conch in the Florida Keys unless you want to get conked in the head.
Well, yeah, exactly. But that's fine. It's good to hear that we're getting some positive reports for some marine life. That's good stuff.
Oh, you know, and we talked the last time about the coral restoration. I think we're starting to see something in the Keys that's a real positive effect. you probably know about the sewer lines. They're going away from all the septic tanks and only sewer lines, so they're taking care of a lot of pollution that's down here in the Keys, and that's really going to help the coral grow.
Yeah. They've had a sewage problem in the Keys for some time, and the poo is not good for the reef.
That's true. We have proof.
Yeah, we have proof, right? Not poo. We're getting rid of that.
Exactly.
But, yeah, but that's a good thing for sure. Now, let's get back to the bugging, though, because I know me and you have that common interest. We like to go hunt for lobster in areas where you're allowed, and we love seeing lobster, too, but when you're hunting for them and you can get them, that's a bonus. So I'm guessing you have been scouting some sites. While we're in lobster season now, have you been scoring already, or are you just kind of getting your sights down for a big lobster outing, or what?
Well, I've actually been doing teaching, which I really can't lobster and teach at the same time. So mm-hmm. I've been prevented from doing a lot of lobstering because of my teaching. But you know what? Like you're saying, I'm picking out my sights. Something that's really intrigued me, I heard one of the fishermen talk about the holes that are actually on the bayside. And, bayside is really shallow. We're talking
right.
about 10, 15 feet of water.
Mm-hmm.
So you can get a lot of bottom time. And what you do is you bob from hole to hole to hole, where people, again, they don't normally go because people don't scuba dive in 20 foot of water or less.
Mm-hmm.
And there's lots of bugs there. So I'm looking forward to going out and exploring more of my Key Largo reef system, both bayside and oceanside, and find these bugs and having some good dinners.
Yeah, well, I would imagine on the bayside you could just do some free diving down to that, right?
Exactly.
Yeah. Are you trained in the free diving thing? Have you went through one of those courses as well, or no?
I have not gone through a course on it, but I teach it as part of my scuba class.
Yeah. Well, okay. So you know your free diving skills. That sounds.
I know them well enough to get a lobster.
That's what counts, for sure. Is he a looper? Is he a bagger? We'll find out next. Stay close to the world's first radio show devoted to diving.
Scuba Radio.
Scuba.
Scuba Radio.
Welcome back to the world's first radio show devoted to diving. Pete from Scuba Boards on the line. We're talking lobster, one of my favorite topics. I'm sorry if you've heard this before, but when you get me going on the whole lobster thing, it just makes the hair on the back of my neck stand up, and I have to go there. I got to start talking about catching these bugs, and I got my friend Pete down there in the Keys now scoping sites for me. Another scout, another lobster scout. Because are you with me, Pete? Literally,
I am with you, dude.
Well, I mean,
they get under your shell, don't they?
Well, they do. But the thing about lobster, 90% of it is finding these little buggers, isn't it? Come on, let's be real.
Well. And here's the issue with most divers. Most divers like to do the flutter kick, okay, which means that they've got to stay 3 or 4 feet above the reef. Well, you and I know that those lobsters like to scurry underneath.
Right.
They like to get back. So if you can start learning how to do the frog kick,
mm-hmm.
which uses less air because you're going slower, and slow down your diving quite a bit and get right a couple inches off the ground. That frog kick will allow you to kick without knocking the crap out of the reef, without stirring up silt so your buddy can't find you. Okay? And then you can actually look up under those ledges, and you can actually be a lot more maneuverable with the frog kick, too. So you can reach right up there, get the loop behind him, and I am a looper.
You're a looper,
and
okay.
And just, let him back up in it and then pull that snare. And, it's a thing of joy. You don't break the antennas. You don't hurt the lobster, and you get the check for one to see it's big enough.
Right.
And two, to make sure it's not female, because we don't want to take eggs out of the water. We want to leave the eggs in the water.
That's right. Yeah, I think the nets and the tickle sticks, as fun as they are to use, especially the tickle sticks, you get them tangled up in the net, and next thing you know, they're freaking out. And if the lobster has eggs, that's not good. And I think it's way more stressful. So I'm a looper, too. You're a looper. We're a looper. Everyone should be a looper, something like that. And I'll take that frog kick idea into consideration as well. I had never really thought about it as far as water movement and spooking the lobsters. That makes a lot of sense.
You gotta fake them out. And yeah, they're not that smart, so you should do it.
Well, there you go. I like it. I'm with you on that one. More coming up. Stay close.
This is the Worldwide Scuba Radio Network.
Prepare to rig for dive!
Your surface interval is complete. You're now clear to dive with Scuba Radio.
Scuba Radio.
The world's first radio show devoted to diving.
Scuba Radio.
Dive, dive, dive.
Okay, this is Sucker Sterling. I'm going to give you a little bit of a cappella from one of my tunes from this year. The song was entitled Hula. I'll just give you a couple of pieces from it. So remember, when you come to Grenada, devotion to ocean, we're out there.
Girl, your body hot like fire. Waist it a spin like tire. Oh, make my thing rise higher. Can I carry you like Mariah? You'll be the clock and I'll be the buyer. No interview, you're made on hire. I got the pole, please bring the wire. Let us see what transpire.
Hit me! I got more for you when you come and dive with me in Grenada at Devotion to Ocean. Until then, keep listening to Scuba Radio, the world's first radio show devoted to diving. Now here's my... Now here's my close and personal friend and rapping buddy, Greg the what?
Greg the Dive Master.
Greg the Dive Master.
Yeah! Holla!
You know, we make good friends there in Grenada. Maybe we'll make some next week in the Dominican Republic. You'll have to tune in and find out. However, you know, this is the last Saturday of January, so... It took me a while to get there, but this has been on my agenda for some time, and that is to talk about fitness and diving, because January, you know, you make those New Year's resolutions like, I'm going to lose 10 pounds. I'm going to be in top tip dive shape the time the season comes around, you know, especially if you're up in the Midwest right now and you're snowed in. You know, you have a tendency maybe to pack on a few extra pounds because you can't move around as much. That is not good for diving. And, at least that's my guess. So I kind of evaluate my exercise regimen and kick it up a notch this time of year. And we have, Patrick, Roward on the line. He is a, let me make sure I get this. What do you call yourself? A physiologist? And what is it? Just help me out.
I am an exercise physiologist.
Okay. Exercise physiologist. So you specialize in telling people what type of exercises to do. Is that a fair description or no?
Yes. An exercise physiologist studies the effects of exercise on the chronic and acute case, you know, individuals who may be sick, and also the apparently healthy. So it's just really the, you know, the study of exercise and how it affects the human body.
Yes, and that's very important for diving. Probably not so much at the forefront as other sports or activities, but it probably should be. And you're a diver, and you've written several articles about the type of exercise or just staying fit for diving. Is that right, Patrick?
That's correct. Yeah, I've written for Scuba Diving Magazine, and I had my first article in Sport Diver Magazine this issue, the January-February issue. Don't mind me, I'm pulling up the article myself. It's called 1 Month to Dive Fitness.
So this is a one-month program, basically outlining what I just was saying before I brought you on, which is, you know, that month of January, a New Year's resolution, you kind of want to get in shape or shed a few pounds, that kind of thing, and reevaluate your fitness. That basically is what the article was about. It was a program that you set up for specifically for divers, right?
That is correct, yes. I did some research with Divers Alert Network, as well as the American College of Sports Medicine, and you know, combine the two and design a workout that's geared the last 1 month. And it's what they call a periodization program. In other words, it starts off slow and builds its way up till at the end of the month. Now, obviously, though, this program is written for to be a one-month workout.
Right.
We want people to continue exercising at the end of the month.
Okay.
Well, this is just a way to kind of get them kick-started.
Right, a start. And does it involve, like, you know, bench pressing air tanks and that kind of thing, or more traditional type of exercise?
But, you know, there's always a good thing having, you know, some practical exercise, some functional training. So, yeah, hey, carrying around air tanks, dragging weight belts around, those aren't such a bad idea. I should have thought of that when I was writing it.
Well, maybe that can be in, you know, phase two. That could be in month two.
Exactly.
Mixing it up a bit, keeping things interesting in your exercise regimen. So, you know, let's go back to the reason why this is important, and that is being fit. When it comes to scuba diving, I think divers or the sport in general has a, it's not like playing football or something. It's not that intense, I guess. So people think that you don't necessarily have to be as in shape to scuba dive as you would for some other sport activity. You think that's a fair assessment?
I would say that's very fair. Most people look at diving and they see it as not a sedentary pursuit, but it's not like going out and running the Boston Marathon.
Right.
You know, you gear up, you do, you know, a drop over the side, and you just float and relax, and as long as you got your buoyancy controlled and there's no current, it's relatively effortless.
Yeah, I actually saw an article just this week about how some movie stars are looking at scuba diving as a great way for a an actress's workout. And so it's starting to get a little bit more respect in that regard as far as exercise is concerned, which is good because it can be a little, you know, it can be stressful at times or intense at times if you're swimming against a current and that kind of thing. But the bottom line is that you should be fit to dive. And knowing what that fitness is kind of where you come in or how you got involved in this a little bit, isn't it?
Exactly. Once again, being an exercise physiologist, I've worked with a whole slew of different individuals. I've worked with professional hockey players, collegiate athletes, and just the average everyday individual. But I've been an avid diver. I got my C card back in 1981 from Dip and Dive in Buffalo, New York, of all places.
Nice.
Back then, no one even thought of diving in Buffalo, I think. And I've been diving ever since. I've always been fascinated with it and just love it, passionate about it. So this was a great way for me to be able to combine my two passions, exercise physiology and diving.
Excellent.
So I was really lucky to be asked to write my first article, and even luckier the fact that they keep asking me to come back and write more.
Well, I think it's an important topic. You know, I've always tried to at least stay in a certain amount of physical shape where I felt safe because, you know, I've done a lot of crazy stuff because of this radio show. And, you know, I've probably done some more extreme type of diving compared to the average Joe diver, maybe. But I think it's just a personal, it's just a wise choice to stay fit. So you're prepared for the unexpected, which could happen any time. And I know as a dive instructor as well that I have seen many people where I've kind of scratched my head thinking like, oh, boy, I think this person might be, you know, a bit in over their head, not just dive skills, but just looking at them physically. They're huffing and puffing. They look like they may have a few too many pounds around that waist. And it makes you a little nervous as a dive instructor because you're afraid you're going to have to do something to possibly save this person. So I guess what is it? Is there a weight or a percentage of fat that maybe you should rethink diving or what?
Well, there's a couple things. If you don't mind, I'm just going to throw a couple stats at you that were supplied to me by, once again, by Divers Alert Network. And Divers Alert Network did a study that was between 1992 and 2003 in which they examined 947 recreational dive fatalities. and then they examined what caused these fatalities. And according to their study, 26% of the fatalities were caused by cardiac incidents. Hmm. So in other words, these people had a cardiac arrest or something to that extent that caused their fatality.
Right.
The only two that were above that were drowning, which was 33%, and atrial gas embolism, which was 29%. Now, first off, the drowning could coincide with cardiac incidents.
Right.
But basically, drowning and the embolism, well, those in a lot of ways come down to training in diving, if at least in my opinion.
Yeah, diving beyond your limits and getting caught.
Exactly.
Right.
And, you know, if you're not a comfortable swimmer, well, then you should work on being better at that activity if you're going to take part in diving. Where cardiac incidents, that is the only one, and it's the third greatest, in which actually involves physical, you know, inactivity, being in poor physical condition. So that opened my eyes, and I think it opened up a lot of people's eyes at Divers Alert Network as to how important physical activity is for diving.
Well, yeah, that makes a lot of sense, especially from a cardio standpoint. You know, you have to work against a current, that kind of thing, and you got to be able to handle those extreme situations should they pop up on you. But what about weight? Could you be too fat to dive? We'll talk about that next right here on the world's first radio show devoted to diving. Yes, I'm looking down at my gut right now. Yeah, I got to take a pound or two off, I'm guessing.
Would you like to talk diving? Greg the Dive Master's all toweled down and ready to take your call now. Call Scuba Radio at 1-888-88-SCUBA.
Hosting a radio show about scuba diving and boating is one of the best gigs on the planet. It's actually part of my job to check out and report on cool new products I personally use to enhance my diving and boating adventures. However, I do believe in sharing the joy, and this is why we've added Nanook protective hard cases to our list of products you can now purchase on the merchandise page at scubaradio.com. Nanook cases are designed to protect the most sensitive equipment in the harshest environments. Underwater photographers, listen up. From their high-impact K7 resin to their exclusive Power Claw latches, Nanook has raised the bar for those of you that demand the best protection for your gear. Plus, Nanook protective cases cost less than similar products currently on the market. The company has been around for over 15 years, but it's new to the U.S., so we've made a small number of Nanook cases available exclusively for you at a special introductory price on the merchandise page at scubaradio.com. Go there now and check out Nanook. The evolution of protection.
Here at Scuba Radio, we've been fans of Force Fins for years. With over 12 styles and just about every color imaginable, Force Fins are in a league of their own. Now, they aren't the biggest company out there, just the best. So sometimes Force Fins are hard to find. That's why we've made the whole line of Force Fins available on the merchandise page at scubaradio.com. Order yourself a pair today, and they'll be delivered right to your door and be ready for your next dive. That's the merchandise page at scubaradio.com.
Bula, that's the greeting you get from the smiling, generous Fijians who welcome you to Fiji. And while Fiji's friendly people, white sand beaches, rainforest, and waterfalls are a huge draw for any traveler, divers in the know consider Fiji the soft coral capital of the world. With direct regular flights from LAX on Air Pacific, it's never been easier to live your Fiji experience. Go to FijiMe.com to book dive packages from backpacker to five-star spa resorts. That's FijiMe.com.
Food chain. You see, on top there's Don Lino.
Right.
There's me.
Mm-hmm.
And there's regular fish.
Oh, that's me.
No. There's plankton. Mm-hmm. There's single-cell amoebas.
Oh, then there's me.
I'm getting there. I'm getting there. There's coral. There's rocks. There's whale poo. And then there's you.
That's messed up.
People, let me tell you about a friend I know. He's got the world's first scuba diving radio show. He's my real good buddy and his name is Greg.
He's a street smart fish out of water in a world he never made.
He's the true dive master of the radio wave.
Very sexy. If you're crazy.
So now everywhere I am, in radio. That's not all. He's got his own mermaid.
Get on top on
whole dang pod. And all that I keep thinking is, man, I want his job.
It's perfect. I won't have to change this at all.
So now everywhere I am, everywhere I go,
let's go while we're young.
First thing that I tune to is Scuba Radio.
So
we are back with Patrick Roward. He is a exercising physiologist. Is that right, Patrick?
Exercise physiologist,
and basically talking about fitness and diving right now. He's written several papers on it. And could you be too fat to dive? Cardio is one thing when it comes to staying healthy and getting winded and that kind of thing, I think, is extremely important when you're diving. But is there a weight issue involved? Obesity is becoming more and more a factor about whether you should be diving or not. Is that true, Patrick, or not?
Well, that is true. Of course, you always got to be careful with such statements because you certainly don't want to offend anyone. But unfortunately, they're also.
Wait a minute. You don't want to offend anyone. Wait, you've never listened to my show? Are you kidding me?
No, I guess I have. But,
okay. I'm joking.
But facts are facts, plain right. and simple. Yeah. Even if, that may bother some people. But a study that was done once again by the Divers Alert Network, it was called a classification by Dan for recreational dive fatalities by body mass index from the years 2002, 2003, and 2004.
Okay.
And this study showed that at its worst, divers with a BMI of 30 or greater, which is considered obese, made up 53% of the dive-related deaths.
Hmm.
So that's a pretty shocking statistic right there.
Yeah.
And it just shows that you're playing with fire if you decide to allow your weight to get out of control.
Yeah. Well, I think I've read before, too, that having excess fat also can contribute to DCS, too. Is there a connection there, or do we know?
I know that they were doing some research on that, but in all honesty, I don't know what the outcome was.
Yeah, I mean,
but we do know that excess body fat, it does contribute to coronary artery disease,
right?
Hypertension, type 2 diabetes. A whole host of problems, and these are problems that can directly affect divers.
Yeah, well, you cannot. You really shouldn't rely on the weights wetsuit to take off 10 pounds, even though it'll compress in all the right areas. You need to get rid of some of that stuff to be safer, right?
No, exactly, because that's actually where the issue comes up. Is it the adipose tissue? Is it the body fat that kills people? Well, no. As I mentioned in the earlier study, it's. It's cardiovascular disorders that kill people, but it's the obesity that contributes to these disorders. If you are categorized as clinically or morbidly obese, you're at a far greater risk of developing coronary artery disease, of developing hypertension, as I just mentioned, and type 2 diabetes. And these are the things that quite possibly kill divers.
Yes. Well, especially underwater. If you have a heart incident underwater, it's life-threatening enough on the surface. You can imagine what can happen underwater. So
if you're underwater, exactly.
Yeah.
And sadly, and I know I did take a little bit of flack for making this statement in one of my articles, but when this happens, you're not just putting yourself at risk. You're putting others at risk as well.
Yeah.
You're putting your dive buddy at risk. You're putting people on the boat who might attempt to assist you but when you're 130 feet down. You're putting their lives at risk as well.
Yeah. Well, I can't tell you how many dive instructors and dive guides on boats have have asked, or told me how nervous they get when they have people come on board that weigh 300 pounds, and they know that if this person has an issue, they're going to have to be the ones to lug them up on the boat, and that's going to be quite a challenge in itself. So, you know, I mean, a lot of this is common sense, I think, too, but you know, now is the time of a year to think about it. If you feel you're a little bit overweight or you need to trim down a few pounds, and who doesn't belong into that category? Let's be real.
Of course.
To start focusing on it. Think about it and do something about it. That article on exercise program from divers, how can people find that, Patrick?
That is in the January-February issue of Sport Diver Magazine.
Okay.
Bonair Corporation Sport Diver Magazine.
So you can go there, probably find it online as well.
I'm not sure if it is online. I think you may have to go to your newsstands and pick up a copy.
Or go pick up a copy. There you
but
go.
I can find out. I could ask. As a matter of fact, I'll email my editor and find out if it is going to end up online.
Well, there you go. And we'll pass it along as well. Well, thank you, Patrick. We appreciate it. You know, exercise is key, especially this time of year. And you might have a few extra pounds. You know who will have extra? Those humpback whales, they got all that blubber on them. Maybe I'll put them on an exercise program next week. You'll have to tune in and find out for yourself. Till then, remember, it's always better down where it's wetter. Good diving, everybody.
Scuba Radio is a production of Overboard Entertainment Incorporated. Scuba
Radio. This seems the logical place for fish to congregate.
Remember, you can listen live or to archives of past editions of Scuba Radio worldwide over the internet at scubaradio.com.
So we're in international waters?
Indeed so.
Tell a friend and buddy up with your radio every week for Scuba Radio, the world's first radio show devoted to diving.
Well, it's all very nice here, but we should be going. I miss me wife and me oxygen.
Yes, we all miss our loved ones and gases. Let's go.
The opinions you just heard on Scuba Radio are those of the hosts, callers, and guests.
Okay, see now, what I just heard? Blah, 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 blah.
They are not necessarily those of any station or network, its management, or advertisers.
Come on, quit yanking me.
Scuba diving does involve risk and should never be conducted without proper instruction and training.
Oh, what's the worst thing that could happen?
I could die.
Have any questions or comments? Feel free to do so via the web at scubaradio.com.